If you notice right here, it's talking about in the Old Testament, you see this where it has this reference to a begotten son, but it's not even talking about Jesus to start with. Here's another reference to some sons of God in the plural. We're looking at that. When we put this together with this, and then we start looking at it.
Hold on 1 second, Shea. Let's get the audience and the viewers in on what we're talking about.
Oh, are we on?
We're on. Yes, we are on the Dean Show every week. Sit tight. We got another show for you now with our special guest, Yusuf Estes, only on the Dean Show.
Allah, there's only one God, and Muhammad is his messenger. Allah, la ilaha illallah.
Thank you, I'm your host Eddie on the Dean Show, where we try to bring you a new topic, a fresh topic every week, and a special guest. And today we're sitting with Sheikh Yusuf Estes, former Christian minister, preacher, and we're talking about, can God have a son? What does the scripture say about God having a son?
Well, Eddie, this is an excellent topic, and it's not one that you're going to just jump on real quick and run away from, because you're going to stir up a lot of hornets on this one. And the reason for that is because people have been told for many, many, many centuries, not just years, centuries, that there is a son of God. This is a popular notion amongst the Christians, but it's also a notion amongst some other religions as well. Some of them talk about God having sons and daughters, and gods that are sons of daughters of other gods. Of course, that's Greek and Roman mythology. Mm-hmm. You have a god called Mithras, which actually is in a lot of ways influencing the teachings of the early Catholic Church. You have another god that comes to us from the early Egyptians, who also has this mother, father, son, God triangle or Trinity relationship. But what we want to talk about specifically now, does Scripture really offer this notion? The actual Scriptures, and it's going to be my contention, it's not true. First of all, and this is very important to know, that the Scriptures were not revealed in the English language. So it's very unfair to have a dialogue talking about translations of something that you know good and well. There's no way that was ever in the English language. So you must immediately now go back to something that you translated from. If you go back to the Latin, and you want to talk about the Latin translations or the translations to English from Latin, you're going to immediately find serious problems, even if you go all the way back to the time of Jerome when he did the Latin Vulgate. Because this, as an historical document, it's a fabulous thing. But as far as being 100% accurate, the Catholic Church themselves have said we would never use this as the actual reference point for the Bible, but it is a historical document, and a great document it is. There's no doubt about it. What we want to say here now is that the Bible, as it came in the original form, doesn't exist today. Now, that should not be evidence for somebody to give up their faith and walk away. I don't want that. I've seen it happen to some of the scholars. In fact, most of the scholars, when they get to that point, they just give up and say, okay, I'll be a Bible scholar, but I'm not going to be a Christian anymore. One of the case in points that we've talked about in some of your other programs, for those who didn't know it, Bart Ehren, as his name, was a real born-again, I guess, Christian, believing in the Bible as the absolute and positive Word of God, and studied at the Moody Bible Institute here in Chicago. But then when he goes off to Princeton and learns from the archaeological finds, the real manuscripts with a hands-on application, he says, none of this is the real deal anymore. We've been lied to.
And this is not just a man filling in the blanks. This is a man who went really deep into the originals or the copies of the copies of the copies.
He's highly respected even today in his field. Now, what he says in his books, and you can purchase these at Barnes & Noble, Borders Books and Music, Amazon.com. Is it called Amazon.com?
Yeah.
You can go there and get these books, read them for yourself, and he's talking about lost Christianities. He's talking about misquoting Jesus. These are the titles of his books. You can see for yourself, and he's saying we don't have a copy of 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 anything that came from an original source. But the bad news, the really bad news, is he became an atheist. Totally gave up on God. And this is what we don't want. We're Muslims, but we don't want Christians to give up. We're Muslims, but we don't want the Jews to give up. We don't want anybody to give up on faith. We totally believe in God, but what we're offering here is not an apologetic view. We're not apologists. What we are saying is we can show you some very important information from scriptures that are still authentic today. The scripture, what I'm talking about now, is the recitation of God's words. Recitation to the angel Gabriel. That same angel who brought recitation to the prophets before, brought that same type of recitation to Jesus, peace be upon him, and then finally to Muhammad, peace be upon him. And it's called the recitation. Al-Quran means the recitation. It doesn't mean a book that you write down and, you know, fold up and stick in your pocket. Although you can write down the Arabic of the Quran, the real Quran is what's recited, memorized, and taught from generation to generation. Mm-hmm. Okay? And what's being recited today, memorized today, is exactly the same as it was 1,400 years ago when it was revealed. So I'm giving, first and foremost, some credit here to Scripture, saying that the Quran is still extant, and you can go to it, and you can rely on it, because we have 10 million human beings plus who have totally memorized it. And they're all ages, from 6 to 96. And they have totally memorized it around the world, different languages, still they've all memorized the exact same way. It's not, there's not two different Qurans out there. Okay. The next thing is, in the Quran itself, it says that it is a revelation from God. It says it is the recitation of God. And it says that the previous revelations were also in the past tense. It says that this one, though, is going to be preserved. Preserved, and we know that God's preserving it. And we know also from Islam that he will preserve this until the sun rises from its point of setting. Meaning that the sun will rise up in the west instead of the east. And until that happens, we still got the Quran. And by the way, this morning here in Chicago, where the Dean Show is being broadcast from, we know that the sun came up from the east. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen for that. I want to look now to what we have from the English of the Bible and help people understand something about what we can prove. Even though it's English, even it's translation, even I said you lost the original, we can still prove some things because we do have something that's authentic, which is the Quran. Mm-hmm. Okay, if we look to Psalms chapter 2, verse 7, you have a clear statement. Now, this is in the Old Testament, called the Zabur in the Arabic language. It says, here's David. David is addressing the congregation. He's turning his face. He's blessing the congregation. This is something he did other places in the Bible. You see he did that. And he's stating something to them about an amazing day that this is. This is a day that he and God are having this special relationship. He's saying, I will proclaim the decree of the Lord. He, meaning the Lord, said to me, you are my son, and this day I have begotten you. Clear. Now, who's begotten here? David. This is a relationship.
So if you use it for Jesus,
well,
peace be upon
first
you.
Of all, well, hold on. If I want to jump forward to the New Testament and go to John 3:16, we have, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. There's a lot of holes in this immediately. You're saying that he sent his only begotten son. It doesn't say Jesus. And if it's only, if you're saying only, then it must be David. Because clearly in the Old Testament, long before Jesus was born, it already said that the begotten son of God is who?
David.
Mm. Now, if David's the begotten son...
We got a problem here.
No, no problem at all. You're just saying that you're worshiping the wrong guy. Now you need to shift and start worshiping David because it doesn't say Jesus, his only begotten son. Referring back then, I guess, to 2:7. Huh? Mm-hmm. But no, hold on a second. That's not the only place. And if you thought it was, this is another mistake. Go back and look in Genesis 6:2. Genesis 6:2 says, the sons of God. That's plural. Now, this is way back. This is way, way, way back, before Abraham, before all of the prophets. It's saying the sons of God saw the daughters of men. What does that mean? It sounds like you've got two kind of creations here. and found them to be fair, and took them to wed, and went in unto them. I mean, take them to wed and have, you know, intercourse with them. And from these are coming the mighty men of old, etc., etc., and it goes on. But the point we're trying to make here, what is this, sons of God? Now let's go to chapter 2 in the book of Job. The book of Job, chapter 2, and it says here that the sons of God were going to and fro from the earth up to heaven, back and forth. Now some have said, well, those are angels. Well, why didn't it say angels? And if you said, well, son of God here means angel, then how do you apply that to David? Was David an angel? And how do you apply it to Jesus? Is Jesus an angel? And if he's an angel, then he's not a man. So I'm trying to explain to you that the document that you're holding here and saying this is the absolute word of God, that absolute word of God you got doesn't say Jesus is the only begotten Son. It says the only begotten Son, but it doesn't say Jesus. And if it's only, you've got to go back to chapter 2, verse 7.
Now you can go on
of Psalms.
You can go on and on quoting different verses that are referring to sons of God, Son of God, for many is it led by the Spirit, are the sons of God. So many places. Why do people take this exclusively for Jesus?
Well, I think it's because this is what they're taught. This is I grew up hearing the same thing myself. I preached the same thing because that's what I was taught. But you see, I never completed seminary school. I didn't go in my father was an ordained minister. And he told us from the very early on, the Bible is the inspired word of men. God has inspired men to write, and they've written. That's how he justified it. And that makes a lot of sense. But if you said the Bible is the absolute word of God, and it's got mistakes in it, wow, you got a problem. There are contradictions in the English translation of the Bible that are very clear. However, if you go back to the older manuscripts, you're going to find they didn't say that to start with. And then if you go way back, if we could go way back and find the originals, which you can't, you'd find that there was probably no contradiction at all. Certainly not in the very original. There wouldn't be. So let us talk about Jesus for a minute or two and think about this. It was a matter decided. A matter that was voted on, decided, and confirmed by the Council of Nicaea in the year 325 A.D. This is when it was alleged that Jesus is officially going to be called Son of God.
Let's look at it. Let's go back a little bit, you know, for the person that, the layman, okay? Not the preacher or the person that really knows the scriptures. The person, like, who's just using his common sense. When you say that God had a son, now you have God, and he has a son. Now you have two gods, don't you? Now you have a problem here. For if I'm using my rationale to think, and I say, how can this be? Now you have two gods, because obviously the son, the baby, is going to grow up to be like the father. So how do you deal with this now? Were you contemplating thinking about this as being a former Christian minister? Would you get stuck like thinking like,
okay, I wouldn't allow my mind to go there. I would just stop.
You would stop.
Stop, just full stop. Another thing is, if you really want to think about it, and again, I wouldn't let my mind go there, if God can have a son, a male, who is anatomically correct, his anatomy is male anatomy, if you follow what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So why can't he have a daughter?
Why can't he have more, sons?
And why a son? Why not a daughter? A daughter is, you know, has the capability of having more offspring. Does this mean God is female? And some have alleged that God is female. And what I'm saying is that God is neither male nor female, because this is what we know in the word Allah itself. God is not a man, and he's not a woman.
That's what it actually comes down. That's a good point, because if you say he had a son also, now he's a male, and you're giving him a gender possibly, eh?
Well, you're giving both of them
you're
a gender.
You're opening a whole door for just confusion.
You want to talk about why do some of the women livers today, my sister happens to be one of them. She says the Bible needs to be rewritten, and everywhere it says creation, God created it, it needs to be she created, not he. Because she said, well, women are the ones who create, not men. Men are procreators. The women are the creators, according to her.
That's why when God Almighty says in his last and final revelation of mankind, the Quran, no, God does not have sons, he does not have daughters, he is nothing like his creation. This fits now. For him
he
to
says,
will something,
Lam yulid, walam yulad. Lam yulid, walam yulad. God is not the son of anything, God is not the father of anything. And I'm using it that way because if you go back now and look in Numbers, in the Old Testament, Numbers 23:19, Numbers. Here's what it says. God is not a man that he should sin. God is not the son of man that he should repent.
Makes total sense. Let's take a break and we'll be right back on the Dean Show. Welcome back to the Dean Show. We left off. He does not beget, nor is he begotten.
We're talking about God.
We're talking about God.
And he doesn't beget, and he is not begotten.
And simplified, that he is not the father of anyone, nor does he have any children. And for him to will something, he basically says, be, and it is. This is simple. This is simple to digest.
Okay, let's go back to the early times of the Christian church. Now, this is a matter of fact that one of the early fathers, church fathers, Arius, he had this idea that Jesus was created and not begotten. Jesus was created and not begotten. We've already discussed the fact that the Bible didn't say it was Jesus when it talked about begotten anyway. It clearly states David is the begotten Son of God. Mm-hmm. Okay, so whatever that means, okay, it's not talking about Jesus. Because even in John 3:16, it doesn't say Jesus. It just says begotten Son, only begotten Son. And now we have Arius saying that, no, God didn't begot, at least not Jesus, because... And he says, Jesus is created. Well, for this, he was considered a heretic. And he and his followers were horribly persecuted by the church. And in 325 AD, the church, the Catholic Church, which came into being at that time, officially and totally confirmed that, in fact, Jesus was begotten and not created. So they went the other way. And that's on their website. You can go to their website and see it for yourself. There's another statement we find in the Bible, too. And this is coming in John 10:38, attributed to Jesus. It says, but if I do it, even though you do not believe me, believe the miracles that you may learn and understand that the Father is in me, and I am in the Father. Well, what does that mean? Another statement in John 4:10, don't you know that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you are not my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing this work. But now watch this. We'll go down to same exact chapter, which is chapter 14. All you got to do is go 10 more verses. This is 14:20. It says, on that day you will realize that I am in the Father, I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Well, what does that mean? Because if you want to use part of the Bible but not the rest of the Bible, what are you doing? You're not being rational anymore. If you want to have a rational discussion, you have to be willing to look at all the evidences. And it's in the same chapter, in the same gospel, saying, and I'll repeat it, on that day you will realize that I am in the Father, in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. So does this mean that the disciples are somehow living inside of Jesus? And if so, are they also sons of gods, or are they gods? Because he's talking to his disciples. And what about them, the people they preach to? Did they get to live in those people too, and those people are living in them? And how does that work? And why the exclusivity? How come only some people get this living in deal? You know, how do you rent out your body that somebody else can live in it? I don't know. It means that obviously you don't know because you're taking a translation of a language which is translated from another language, and in between you have many, many copiers. And copyists, as they're called, who have, and maybe in all good intent, still made a lot of mistakes. So you cannot rely on this, and it doesn't even make sense if you try to say it like that.
Let's start to give people, because we're almost running out of time, the alternative now. We want to show people that Islam came to clear all the confusion. There's a lot of confusion over this, and Islam makes it clear. You don't have to be confused anymore. Can we go into what Islam says about this whole thing a little deeper?
Okay. The conclusion is, even in the prayer of Jesus himself, that we find, even in the Bible today, he says to pray for God's will to be done. He didn't say, pray for my will. He said, pray for God's will. He himself is praying to God. Why? And how? how could he be praying to God and asking, and even in the prayer itself saying, even so, this is what I want, but even so, I don't want the cup, you know, but even so, your will be done. Your will. He's saying that. For us, we know in Quran that Jesus is saying, peace be upon me the day I am born and the day that I die and the day that I'm raised up again. He's saying this. He is talking about he was born. He's talking about he's going to die. And God is not born and God doesn't die. So he's not a God. And he's not the Son of God. And he's a prophet. He's a mighty prophet, a miracle birth, yes. And he's telling us, worship your God and my God. Your Lord and my Lord. That is from Quran. And go look in the Bible, you'll find he said the same thing. Know, O Israel, the Lord your God is one Lord. And you have to love him with all your might, all your strength, and all your heart. How am I going to do that if I split part of that love for Jesus and part for God?
It doesn't work.
God. How? And why didn't he say, love me and God? He said, know, O Israel, the Lord your God is one Lord. Now, some are going to say, where's the reference for that? It's in Mark chapter 12, verse 29. Mark 12, 29. We've got all of this. The documentation is on our websites. You can go to our website. You can see it for yourself. 911.
911 Bible.
Bible.
That's your website?
This is where we got it.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you again for being with us on The Dean Show.
Always a pleasure.
And I'd like to thank everybody who's been watching us every week. A new show on The Dean Show where we try to bring you a new topic, tackle these very important issues, and I hope that you've gotten the benefit. Remember, you need a humble heart, an open mind, and like the Sheikh said, the wise man who's here with us today, look at the evidence. Stop just filling in the blanks. Stop just going along with what everybody's going along. Stop. Use your brain. It's not that difficult. You can visit our Q&A section on The Dean Show. You can visit the 911 Bible where we go into deeper on these subjects. Email us if you have any further questions. And we hope to see you again next week on The Dean Show with another topic for you. Peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum.